So when we think about what's next, we're telling our customers when they see our bucket truck and our line workers in their community on a clear day, that means we're building a smarter and stronger grid. We'll continue to look at how to enhance the plan to make sure we aren't missing anything. While this sounds like a very big investment, which it is, we also have to be responsible with the dollars, meaning we have to do it in a very efficient manner because our customers not only need reliable, they also need affordable.
Welcome to Electric Perspectives, a podcast that explores how America's electric companies are working to deliver the reliable, affordable, secure, and clean energy that powers our economy and our everyday lives. The show is brought to you by EEI, the Edison Electric Institute, which represents all U.S. investor-owned electric companies. I'm your host, Brian Reel.
Recently, Consumers Energy announced that in 2023, nearly 90% of customers who lost power had it restored in less than 24 hours. This progress is thanks in part to the company's work to enhance its energy grid infrastructure, which includes adding smart technologies, clearing tree branches away from power lines, hardening infrastructure, and more. These efforts are part of a strategic plan called the Reliability Roadmap, and it's an essential piece of Consumers Energy's vision to limit the scope and length of power outages in the near future. On this episode, Tanya Berry, Consumers Energy's Senior Vice President of Transformation and Engineering, joins us to discuss the goals of the Reliability Roadmap, how Consumers Energy is enhancing grid reliability in Michigan, its efforts to prepare the next generation workforce as part of the plan, and more. Tanya, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So before we dive into the Reliability Roadmap and all of the work your company is doing to prevent outages, and of course to restore power more quickly when they do occur, can you talk about what went into making the decision to implement and really get this initiative started?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So first, let's note, reliability is job number one at Consumers Energy. So we serve close to 2 million homes and businesses with a grid that stretches about 100,000 miles. We've always made upgrades to our system and to the grid, but we've changed that in terms of raising the bar. We're making a commitment to our customers that we've never made before. I call it game changing. I call it industry best. And what we're committing to through that roadmap are some very aspirational goals of no more than 100,000 customers out through any one given event, and that we will restore all customers within 24 hours. The roadmap starts with thinking about where we are and what do we need to do to accomplish those very goals. You know, as a comparison, Consumers Energy, we established our clean energy plan, which was very leading industry. We talked about kind of closing those coal plants on the efforts to clean, and we were very ambitious in that. This sets us on that same path for electric reliability.
Could you speak a little bit to the goals of this program and what types of projects are underway to help ensure reliability, even in the face of the severe storms we've been seeing?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, major goals, I love repeating them, no more than 100,000 customers out, and we will restore within 24 hours. And we believe we could do that. You know, the plan calls for about $1 billion in investment across the system.
And when you say $1 billion, Tanya, are you talking about total or is that an annual spend?
That's annual, $1 billion annually. And, you know, as we look at it every single year, we're in this cycle of plan, do, check, act. We're saying, are we executing against this plan? Are we checking the plan? And are we reacting to things, meaning did something not work that we thought would work? And then additionally, are there new things or new emerging technologies perhaps that we need to consider? Because we got a big system and this is going to take an incredible long amount of time. But let's talk about some of the things we're doing in a few major categories here that I'm incredibly excited about. And some of the things we are doing, like for those that are listening to this in the industry, they are new. We actually went and learned these things from EEI, from EPRI, from companies that are really like really performing in that first and second quartile SAIDI. So when we think about it, we're inspecting our lines. May sound like not new. Did you always do that? But what's new for us is that we're making sure we see 50% of the system a year. We used to only see a third. That's a big major change for us. So within the last 2 years, we've actually inspected our entire system, and we're starting to see that again. We're putting technology on the system. We're starting to use drones and helicopters to inspect. We're getting more aggressive with forestry clearing. Anybody that knows this business knows that trees are the number one cause of outage. So we're getting a lot more aggressive, and we're getting in the areas trimming trees that we haven't quite trimmed in a very long time. And our big one, and I love it, is putting on these fuses. These fuses that are allowing us to shrink the number of outages that are experienced, rather than taking out a 30,000 customers or 1,000 customers, we're shrinking down to see outages somewhere roughly around 50 per outage. So it makes less customers out. We can respond faster and quicker.
So are you putting more components on the system that are really helping to isolate the impacted area?
Yes, we are. And it is working for us. We're watching it work. We're on track right now, even this year, to put on right before what we call our storm season here coming up relatively soon. We start to call it at June 1st, even though we had a little bit of weather this year. We're going to have like 7,000 more fuses on the system to date, but we've been kind of putting them on for the past couple of years, allowing us to isolate, get smarter, and get fast.
Are there any other types of smart technologies you've been utilizing that you might want to speak to? And are there ones that specifically are benefiting customers as well as the system?
Yeah, totally. So if we think about a big part of our strategy are the ATR loop or the automatic transfer reclosers. So I don't know if all of your listeners are industry listeners, so maybe I'll explain it a little bit.
Maybe would help. Yeah.
A little bit of it, right? But think about these big, like 800-pound devices that are put on the grid. Our crews are putting these out on the grid. Right now, I think we got about 100 on them across the system, but these are called our traffic cops on the grid, right? And so they also to limit the size of an outage. So when a tree falls on that line, it will automatically communicate to switch customers over to a new line. So sometimes a customer experiences that intermittent blink. Seems like power was about to go out, but it comes right back on. And that is the system working smarter. And that's how the customer feels and sees that.
So Consumers Energy recently announced that the average customer who encountered an outage in 2023 had power restored within 3 hours. How does that compare to previous years?
Yeah. So, you know, we just recently looked and just, you know, let me talk about what happened this year. Actually, sure. We've already had some weather come through this year because Mother Nature sure remembers to remind us that she can throw storms at us. We had a big ice storm last year, February, but this year we had January that brought us back-to-back storms. In this case, we did have a cumulative total of about 300,000 customers out. In the first storm, 97% of our customers got the power back on within 24 hours. In the second, it was 87% hours, and then 99% were back on in 48 hours. And that was, we had a couple of tornadoes actually that came through that too. So pretty impressive given the amount and the extent of damage. If you go back just a year ago, we had an ice storm that kind of came through what we call our big February ice storm. And we had people out well over 5-6 days, you know, and that's not a good feeling for us or for our customers. And so making improvements to make sure we get out there, respond on time. And even on the windiest days, as we're shifting to new pole standards, that's part of the reliability roadmap, getting stronger poles out there that can withstand those winds. We're watching those poles stand up too. And so it hasn't been as much pole replacement, which takes us a longer time too out there.
So you mentioned a lot of the work that's underway, and one thing that every company is thinking about is really developing the talent pipeline for maintaining the current workforce and really growing the future generation workforce. And from what I've read, it sounds as though this is actually a piece of your roadmap. So how is Consumers Energy really tackling the recruitment and retention piece of the equation and helping to get younger generations really excited about the opportunities in our industry?
You bet. So a couple of things. One, we have an amazing partnership with our union. So they're partnering with us and know how important it is, not only to their membership, to the company, but to Michigan. Secondly, we have an amazing HR department. We call it our people and culture department that actively recruits, not only in the field, but kind of across all disciplines, because you need engineers of the future too. But let me specifically talk about when it comes to our line workers. We have established partnerships with roughly 6 community colleges in the area, and they introduce and they train students to get ready and kind of get prepared for the programs. More broadly, when you think about the broad, we're active in like a first robotics, the STEM fields. We're getting out there in the communities. We're anchored by many engineering colleges here in Michigan, so we kind of see that as an anchor for us. We're not shy. We literally tell our future coworkers, this is the place you want to be. And what's fascinating is we're finding many, many places we go and we talk to people that are interested in working for the company. They talk about reliability and transition to clean. And we tell them we can offer you a place to help do both.
And you had mentioned the ice storms, of course, and you definitely get snowstorms and occasionally tornadoes, like you had mentioned. One thing that EEI has really been focused on these past few years is the changing wildfire risk in places, really parts of the country that historically you wouldn't expect to have wildfire risk. Has Consumers Energy been involved in any kind of the forums that EEI has been holding? And how are you all thinking about wildfires?
We definitely have been involved in the conversation around wildfire. And we've also been meeting and visiting with other utilities, San Diego Gas and Electric, and PG&E here recently spent some time with us. And what we learned from PG&E, it was actually news to me. I did not know. Michigan has had two of the largest wildfires in the country's history, backdated to the 1800s. So I don't think none of us listening to this were born, right? But they told us to really be mindful and thoughtful and thinking about it. And so as we started to look at our territory, what we do know is that we have 500 square miles of FEMA relatively high and 5,600 square miles of moderate risk. Now, nowhere the size of what, you know, PG&E or SDG&E experiences, but we definitely want to be on the right side of this. We had a wildfire last spring, small fire. We were able to contain it locally, but it was more in a reactive sort of sense. And so now we're collecting information to learn how to be proactive for the scale and the risk that we have.
And I know our industry, and of course, this includes your leadership as well, has been huge proponents of programs in the bipartisan infrastructure law and in the Inflation Reduction Act and making sure we're really taking advantage of the opportunities that are delivering benefits to customers. And one that comes to mind is the Department of Energy had awarded Consumers Energy $100 million to support some of these upgrades and enhancements as part of the GRIP program, its Grid Resilience and Innovation Partnerships. And so that was a bipartisan infrastructure law program. And obviously it takes a while to implement these programs, but it seems like the federal government shares companies' interests in really making these investments move relatively quickly. And as I understand it, Consumers Energy also is price matching some of that. So what's the total kind of spend for that sort of project with the federal dollars and the Consumers Energy investment? And it's really kind of exciting to see how quickly it's gone from being signed into law by the president to you really are seeing these programs flowing through and helping companies enhance the grid.
You are so right. Let me just say, we are incredibly grateful to have received that. I thank my team, hope they're listening, for all the work. It took a lot of work to get in there and get that completed. But when you talk about the spend, so we'll get $100 million there. We'll spend $100 million and then some to kind of match that, right? And so we're going to spend billions, would it be, of dollars over kind of the next 5 years is our plan. It is worth highlighting the importance of this federal funding, right? So we announced the reliability roadmap last September. Less than a month later, we got the grant. It's not only that we received like really good news after the reliability roadmap, but it validated that we have a strong plan so that we can make a difference for our customers. Because that was truly what this is about, making a difference for our customer. And I think it was a signal to our customers that we're serious and we got the support.
And how does the plan and really how does your strategy help ensure that these investments and grid enhancements are really benefiting all of your customers and that they're equitably benefiting all the communities?
Yeah, that is a great question. So if you think about this specific program, it promotes investments in our disadvantaged communities. For us, those are both in urban and rural communities where we have seen repeat outages and where those actual areas can benefit from extra investment. So when we actually had to submit the plan, we had to put in the areas that sort of match that criteria and the counties in which we would go to. But more broadly, we applied actually the notion of equity to all of our work, not just specific here. And so this includes whether it's delivering electricity, our workforce from a DE&I perspective. And we like to say diversity, equity, and inclusion is in every single thing we do. If you have an opportunity to review our roadmap, it already shows we do a really good job in that, be it in our investment strategy, be it in our response strategy. Those are things we are covering and are completely important to the company.
What comes next for the reliability roadmap? It seems like Consumers Energy already is well on the path to reaching its initial goals. So where do we go from here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let me start by saying we have fourth quartile SAIDI performance. It is not the performance we expect, nor is it the performance our customers expect or even deserve. And so we're well on our way to work our plan. So when we think about what's next, we're telling our customers when they see our bucket truck and our line workers in their community on a clear day, that means we're building a smarter and stronger grid. We'll continue to look at how to enhance the plan to make sure we aren't missing anything. And let me talk about this too, importantly. While this sounds like a very big investment, which it is, we also have to be responsible with the dollars, meaning we have to do it in a very efficient manner because our customers not only need a reliable, they also need affordable. And so I'm just going to say, let's get ready to go. Let's continue to execute. Let's see this grid get stronger and more smarter for us. And anybody who wants to read about what we're doing can go to consumersenergy.com/reliable.
And you had mentioned installing stronger poles. Are there any other things that Consumers Energy is doing to help harden the infrastructure, where it makes sense, parts of the system more resilient against some of these extreme storms?
Yes, we are burying power lines. And so when you think about our system, Consumers Energy, we have roughly about 15% of our system that is underground. But when you compare us to some of the peer utilities, they're at a minimum of at least 25%. We just got approval to bury 10 miles of overhead power lines across 6 Michigan counties in the next year. This is small next to a 100,000-mile system, but it's a big step here in Michigan. Over the next 5 years, we hope to bury 1,000 miles of more lines.
And as you're working on developing these sort of roadmaps and investment plans, I imagine there's a lot of conversations and reviews that are going on with your state regulators, who, of course, are there at the table making sure that these investments are prudent and done in a way that is most affordable for customers.
You know what? We're talking on the perfect day. I just met with the commission this morning and our regulators. What we all agree and what we all want is reliable and affordable electricity for our customers. And today I had an opportunity to talk more about the plan because they want to know more on a year-by-year basis of what we're doing, how they should be thinking about it along with us. And it's a great conversation to have. And what I will say is when you look at just kind of recent comments we received from our commission, they are incredibly supportive and are signaling that they are supportive of, because they know we need to make these updates for the state of Michigan. They know the system is big. They know that there's definitely a lot to do. And there's a commitment that we're in this together. Now, just as we want affordable, they also are telling us you got to be affordable and responsible with the things you see. And we're going to hold you accountable. And we're saying, well, you can't hold us accountable any more than we hold ourselves accountable for this work. And so I think we have a great environment here in Michigan, and I do appreciate that. And we have an opportunity to provide each other kind of constructive feedback on where we're heading. We call feedback a gift, but I think it's important because we know the outcomes that we all want to achieve are the same outcomes, and we know we have to do it together.
Well, it certainly sounds like you and your team are busy and will continue to be busy. So I really appreciate you making some time to join us and share a little bit more about your roadmap and the road ahead.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And that's our show for today. Thank you for listening. And come back next week to hear more from experts and industry leaders who are talking about the innovative ways electric companies are building a cleaner, smarter, stronger energy future for the customers and communities they serve. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Podbeam, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Electric Perspectives. I'm your host, Brian Real. Thanks for listening.